It's time for Lunch Hour Reviews.
Creatures who feast upon the flesh of their victims.
I ate his liver with some fava beans.
Soylent Green. Nice made out of people.
Feeding time.
I'm Darren.
And I'm Mindy.
And this is a Lunch Hour Reviews segment, and we're back to the small office, not at our desks, because our boss is gone.
Whee!
So today's going to be a quick one. We've just got a couple movies to cover. Mindy, do you want to go first?
Well, mine's not a movie, but I've been catching up on the CW TV show, iZombie.
Oh, okay.
Don't bother with it, you, Darren, don't bother with it, because I know you're going to hate it.
Because I didn't like Warm Bodies, which was
exactly.
The romantic comedy
exactly.
That used the zombie premise.
Yeah, you're going to hate it. I like it. I'm a Buffy fan. Like, that's, you know, a
okay.
Huge part of everything I love is Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Okay.
And so this kind of reminds me, and someone had compared it to a cross between Buffy and Veronica Mars and
okay.
Zombies.
Which... Yeah,
right.
I okay, I'm in.
I mean, she's the main character. I mean, to give you an idea, even how she is and looks, like she played Tinkerbell on Once Upon a Time.
Okay,
so she's like a little tiny
pixie
thing.
Dream girl type.
Yeah, exactly. She's a zombie. She works in a medical examiner's office. This is based on the comic book series, but very loosely based. On
okay.
The comic book series.
That's something you checked out?
Yeah. It's very loosely based on it. There's no werewolf terrier,
okay.
Which was disappointing. Maybe she'll get a dog. Who knows? But I think it's, if you like Buffy and you like a teeny tiny girl like kicking some ass occasionally, I like iZombie.
And
I'm a nerd.
So you did describe the premise to me as her needing brains
right.
To maintain a certain amount of humanity.
Right, because if she doesn't eat brains, she'll go full on zombie.
Okay.
And that's no bueno.
Okay. And so it works perfectly that she works in a medical examiner's office. And
exactly.
This brain weighed 3.5 pounds and was delicious.
Delicious. But then what also she does when she eats brains, she gets like part of their personality.
Okay.
And she sees like visions of what they saw.
Okay.
Which is kind of cool because she can then like, she can do like karate and she can speak other languages.
Okay. It's like the Matrix download.
Yeah. It's pretty cool. But
yeah.
Only until she eats someone else's brain. Then... Everything's
erased.
Oh, she
only keeps one at a time.
Yeah, one at a time.
That's interesting. There was a graphic novel that I really liked called Chew, which similar in that the guy was like a gastropath in this, something to the effect of he would inherit the memory of whatever he ate. So he could tell you this tomato came from Mexico 4 days ago. And the guy who picked it, his hands were filthy. However, but if he...
I would know that when I got dysentery or something, or E. coli.
But he could take a bite out of a crime victim and tell you the last minutes of that person's living life. So he does weird investigations on that note. So it sounds kind of similar
in
that way.
Yeah, it's pretty similar. I mean, the visions are very sporadic. And she
okay.
pretends that she's a psychic. When she's dealing with the police, they think she's a psychic.
Okay.
So, and that's kind of funny. Kind of a funny situation.
Yeah, I don't know. I would give it a... I'll give it a shot.
I think
the pilot, at least.
To me, give it 2 episodes.
Okay.
Because the pilot's not going to...
Rope me in.
Yeah, no.
Okay.
But it's a CW show through and through. That being said, I like it. I keep watching it.
Well, they've got some good things. I've reasonably
oh, yeah.
liked Arrow and The Flash.
And Supernatural. Don't even pretend like you
oh,
don't
right.
watch Supernatural.
I forgot Supernatural was a WB
yeah.
show. Okay, yeah. I'll give it a shot. We talked about, because I saw and then you said you would have warned me against, Pontypool.
Yes, I would have warned you.
So very loosely zombie-based. They sort of rewrite the idea of zombie movies. Okay, this is one that you saw and didn't like?
No, I didn't. What I did not like, number one, I didn't think the premise was unusually unusual. I thought it was very normal. Run-of-the-mill, nothing new, and I hated the acting. I thought the acting was so freaking bad.
I like the main guy for the most part.
You have no taste. He's terrible.
He's not terrible. He's like a mild shock jock.
He's a Don Imus kind of sounding guy to
he
me.
He is.
Yeah.
I guess that's who he's based on, but it like if Don Imus was Canadian and very polite... Yeah, so less of a shock jock and more just like a grizzled old cranky guy.
Yeah.
Okay, so besides the point, so the premise roughly is that zombie outbreak from the perspective of a small radio station in like Halifax or somewhere deep in Canada. But they're not typical zombies. They're zombies in the way that like they get this, they mentally get stuck on an idea, and that kind of like that makes them these singular characters that they, yeah, I don't know. I could, I didn't.
Exactly. Explain it to me. Explain to me the nature of this outbreak.
It's not good. But that said, I thought it might have been very cool as a short movie. And interestingly, that idea keeps coming up in our reviews. The idea is that a lot of these horror movies function in like brief premise that they would work if they were more concise.
Yes.
And I was thinking about that and the idea that there's not really good reason why they need to be dragged out to feature films. And it's kind of surprising, considering these days everything is digitally distributed, why the like old-fashioned tradition of just having like a horror host present short movies. And it wouldn't even need to be an anthology like the ABCs of Horror or
ABCs of Death. Well, but I think that's why I kind of like these VHS and ABCs, because it does give people this opportunity.
But doesn't it still sort of forces them to stick to a theme? So ABCs of Death, it's all sort of variations on death, murder, and horrors. And VHS, it's, you know, someone POVing a story. But I'm just thinking, like, I had fun looking these up, but, like, going way back, Vampira or Chilly Billy or Dr. Creep or Dr. Shock, these are great names. But for someone to just present sort of like the Crypt Keeper did in Tales from the Crypt, but not even having it be a show, but just, you know, sort of, you know, in the way that, like, Bloody Disgusting did ABCs of Death, where you just give people some money, you know, in this case, they wouldn't even need a theme. They would, it would just be maybe submission based where people would, you know, give me a little bit of money to make this short horror movie and you guys will present it.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think, yeah, I don't know. I feel like Netflix or Bloody Disgusting or Blumhouse are kind of missing an opportunity to capitalize on short horror, because I think it can be really effective.
I'm a huge fan of short film because I don't have a very long attention span most of the time. So I'm an advocate for that. But even something like how Elvira used to... Oh, Elvira. Sorry, I did it in Italian. I'm sorry. How, it's a character in a Mozart opera. Sorry. And how Elvira used to have, you know, a Friday night show.
Mm.
Or Up All Night, even Up All Night with Rhonda. These like terrible weekend shows, but they could feature something like three movies, even almost something like Trilogy of Terror, where they're not full length situations.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, I don't know. Every time I see a bad horror movie, I keep thinking, like, if they just trim the fat, if they just consolidated to the strongest elements and went with that. Ugh. But I guess there's still pressure to like make it feature length. You know, whether to feel justified in charging money for an iTunes download or, you know.
Because that's the thing. Half of them aren't even coming out in the theaters anyway. So who cares if it's an hour and a half?
I don't. So finishing up on Pontypool, there was actually a linking thought. So I had mentioned Pontypool to the guys from Miskatonic Musings when we had our interview. That'll be coming out next week. Mm-hmm. And Sean, Spooky Sean, recommended a good short story by Gary A. Brownback called We Now Pause for Station Identification. And so the same idea as far as like the trapped radio jock during a zombie outbreak, but the writer sort of rewrites the zombie premise and sort of appeals to the idea of like the fungal infection that just gets worse and worse. And so these zombies aren't aggressive, but they do sort of return to the place that they were most attached to, just like their strongest memory. Sure. They plant themselves down and then they kind of sprout. If you touch them anywhere in that process, you become contaminated. You lose feeling in whatever limb or fingers or what have you, and it spreads and spreads, and so you are fully one of them. And so once they sprout and become like parasitic plants, then they've got branches and little bitey leaves. And
oh, that sounds good.
It was a really cool story because this guy, there's this sort of tragic irony to his job being one of communication. But, like, no one's calling in, and he's all alone watching things, like, decay around him and having to, like, invade the snack machines in the hallway and try and avoid the receptionist who is dead and sprouted. And it's a good, creepy story. And I like that story way more than I like Pontypool. So thanks, Sean, for that.
See, so something good came out of that garbage.
Yeah. Yeah. Otherwise I've been listening to Camille Nanjiani's podcast, The X-Files Files, and rewatching episodes of The X-Files.
Mm-hmm. Which you watch them out excited. Of order, which irritates the shit out of me.
But that doesn't...
I don't like that.
You're a glutton for punishment. You, like,
you have to...
Between watching terrible
it's
movies...
It's called stick-to-itiveness.
It sounds like you have more time on your hands.
No, it just takes me that long. It's really... It's a commitment, a lifestyle commitment.
I think The X-Files is that much better when you just watch the best episodes.
No. You got to take the good with the bad. It's like life. X-Files is life.
I'll watch all of the new episodes. I won't hesitate to do that.
I'm really excited about that.
But I'm not gonna watch the terrible X-Files episodes where it just becomes a convoluted disaster of alien invasions, clones, and this Mulder's sister mystery.
Oh, see, much like Snowtown Murders, I put a lot of that out of my mind. And I forgot all about his sister, even though I just watched the entire series probably 3 months ago.
Yeah.
I forgot about her.
Yeah. What are they?
Remember the bee stuff, too? There's always all that bee shit in Canada.
Right.
I don't even know what's going on with that.
And then they sort of dragged it around again. Yeah, I don't know. You have a weird cognitive dissonance when it comes to, like, I'm going to choose not to remember any of the bad.
Exactly. You're just jealous. Then one film, and again, I talked about it on, I'll talk about it, I think, again next week with the Miskatonic guys.
Okay.
I didn't know how to feel about it. I think now I do know how to feel about it. The movie just came up on Netflix. It's called The Houses That October Built.
Okay.
It's a POV. It's some guys searching for the ultimate extreme haunted house.
Is it meant to be a documentary from their perspective? It's a ragtag group of
I don't know. They don't even seem
late
to be
teens,
filmmakers.
Early 20-somethings.
They're not even really filmmakers. They just have all this camera equipment. You don't know why. You don't
and
know how.
And a Winnebago.
Right? And a Winnebago
like
that they have rented.
Cross-country doing this.
Exactly. They just seem to be like thrill-seeking people,
okay,
as far as I can figure, with obviously lots of time and money on their hands. Fair enough. I kind of want you to watch it, though, because I think I do know now that I do not like it.
Oh, okay.
But there's some scenes that are very
scary. Good
for
you for not having to watch it twice or three times to
figure
that.
I'm not crazy. If I don't know if I like it, I'm not going to watch it again.
Well, that's how I would figure out if I liked it or not.
No, I had to sit and think, and I've now thought about it, and I've decided maybe no.
Okay.
But I could be swayed, maybe, if someone gave me a good reason.
Yeah, you reached out to Keith from Save Horror.
Absolutely.
About reviewing it.
He needs to tell me what to think.
Yeah, that one I'll give a shot. I like the premise. I thought the trailer was reasonably scary, and it seems like road trip, haunted horror meets The Hills Have Eyes.
It is very, backwoodsy shenanigans. Then another one that came up just recently on Netflix that I was looking forward to was Starry Eyes. And I know you watched that.
I'm encouraging you not to watch it.
So then I guess I'll pass on that.
It's not a bad film. It's just, there's nothing new about it. It's kind of similar to the zombie-esque Contracted, and it's definitely a throwback in terms of, like, don't have sex, terrible things could happen, and
fair
certainly
enough.
Don't have sex to get ahead in life. Introduce that to the Hollywood sort of casting couch scenario, and there's your premise, there's the whole thing. Going back to the idea of the short movie, that was one that would have made a really good Tales from the Crypt. It just didn't function very well as a feature-length film.
Yeah. Sure. All right, fair enough.
Okay, so this was a short one. you guys can get back to work. We are the Rants Macabre. Find us on iTunes and Stitcher and give us a review and share us with your friends.
Follow us on Twitter at Rants Macabre and check out our website, therantsmacabre.com.
Yeah, that's a good looking website.
That is a good looking website, Darren. Good job.
Oh, shucks. Okay, this is Darren signing off.
And this is Mindy.